Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 3rd of August. This is episode 73. And joining me, as always, is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney Pod people. Hello, Adam. And hello, the fact that we're actually on time this time.
We are, and I've just smacked my knee on my desk, and that really hurt.
Yet I find that funny.
Yeah, how did I know you find that funny? We've got no Craig, though, which is a bit strange, because...
I'm sure he's there, if you listen.
Craig will be there a little bit later.
Yeah.
In it, yeah, yeah, in it. Craig will be here a little bit later with Disney Island Discs, which we'll explain in a second. But as we're...
I know where Craig is at the moment.
Where,
that's the disheartening thing.
Well. Go on, where is he?
He's at a frozen yogurt shop after watching Cars 2 and his family all by himself in the States.
Yeah, they had a cinema screen all to themselves, which is just not fair, really, is it, at all? And because he got it all to himself, that means his kids could probably run around the cinema watching the film. But they're a Hi-Fi frozen yogurt thing at the moment, aren't they? And hopefully he's going to get me either a cookies and cream or a cake batter frozen yogurt to bring it back. Which would be
I doubt it.
I doubt that's going to happen either. But it doesn't matter because, do you know, I'm going away soon. I'm very excited.
Where are you going?
We're going on a Disney cruise.
Me too.
Yes, you're coming as well. No, we will be seeing Juz this week. We're going to go and meet him in Liverpool before we go on our cruise.
And just laugh at my face as you go on the cruise.
No, that's not true at all. That's a lie. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good, I think.
You've just had a birthday, haven't you?
I'm old now.
He's old now, but it's all right.
As my mother said, lose weight now in the heart attack zone.
You can always rely
only
on
my
parents.
Mother could.
Yeah, you can only rely on your parents for things like that, can't you, eh? Aren't they lovely? But you've had a birthday, and you had a lovely day with the family, I think, didn't you?
I did. It was a great day, so yes.
Good. Well, that's all good news. Well, we've got a few things we want to share with you very quickly before we kick off. A couple of things. I need to make an apology. This is going to sound weird. I need to make an apology for last episode and also
you need to make an apology every
just
episode,
generally,
to be honest with you.
And also for a future episode as well, which is a bit, it's going to sound strange. On the last episode of the show, we did Around the World in 80 Segments, where we looked at Epcot and we looked at Spaceship Earth. And in the episode, and it wasn't until I was sort of editing the show down that I realised I'd made a mistake. By that point, it was a bit late. I talked about how Walter Matthau had done the narration for Spaceship Earth, and I want to thank Lee Malaby for pointing this out, although I'd already realised it wasn't Walter Matthau, it was actually Walter Cronkite. So it was Walter Cronkite did Epcot.
No, actually, I'd hate to correct you there again, but yes, it's Walter Matthau as well. They did the Odd Couple version of Spaceship Earth. It was a huge success with Jack Lemmon, and it was very funny. I loved it when it was those two.
Right. I'd like to hear the audio of that.
It was great. He goes, "There's Rome burning." He goes, "No, it's my barbecue." "No, it isn't, you crazy fool."
But also, I need to make an apology for a future episode as well. The next episode of the show, which is due out on the 17th of August, it's our third year anniversary show, and we've done something slightly different with it. And we've sort of pre-recorded it because I'm away, Craig's in America, obviously.
Where's Juz?
Juz will be busy making ribs. So we pre-recorded the show, and in it, one of the things I talk about is John Stark, who is Iron Man and how wonderful he is. And we released the show to DB23 members, and they were able to access it. You can access it. If you've not been over yet, you can go over to discot.net and you go into the DB23 group if you're able to get in there, and you'll be able to listen to episode 74 now, and I talk about John Stark Iron Man. And thanks to Barry Gornall, who's already listened to it and very kindly sent a message and left a message on my Facebook wall saying, John Stark, who's he? Do you mean Tony Stark? So when you listen to that episode 74, think of Tony Stark, not John Stark, as I waffle on about.
Can we also point out that if Barry did his homework, he would have realised that, of course, John Stark actually, when he went to trademark Iron Man, was told there was already a John Stark in the technological business, so therefore, as a stage name, he had to change his name to Anthony Stark.
Yes, that's right, he did, and therefore he became Tony Stark.
Can we also apologise for the episode in September, because, yeah, once again, Adam was on it.
Yeah.
And he's bound to make some mistakes. You're bound to make a mistake, so we might as well apologise in advance.
Yeah, definitely. One other thing, Catherine Ryan Howard, lovely lady, came to Mouse Meets. A lot of you met her there. She brought out a book last year called Mousetrapped, and I know several of you have read it. Well, she was talking about how she was going to create a sort of, I suppose in a way, a sequel, where she backpacked around Central America. Sent me an email this week just asking if I would just let people know that Backpacked, a reluctant trip across Central America, is going to be out in September. You can head over to buybackpackedbook.com and you can pre-order your copies there now. So go over there and you can get hold of those. But it looks like it's going to be an interesting book, obviously following on from where she did Mousetrapped and she was in Florida. She's got a really unique, sort of nice writing style, very funny. So when that comes out, I'll be grabbing a copy, definitely. So just go.
You got a freebie already?
No, I've got a freebie. Buybackpackedbook.com and you can go and find out about that. Okay, it's time to
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Right, news and rumours then. One that's just come in, literally, in the past sort of couple of hours, Nick's put up on the website for us. Just to let you know, if you're heading out to Walt Disney World anytime soon, then Walt Disney's...
It's closed.
Yeah, it's gone. Sinkhole. Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room is going to be opening on August 15th. So if you're heading over there, you will see it on August 15th. It is pretty much similar to the original show, but Disney have said that the updated attraction will include a new show control system, remastered audio, and new energy-efficient lighting system. So that's going to be available as of August 15th. If you are heading over there, you are going to go and see it. Do enjoy that. Right, I'm going to start off over at Hollywood Studios. This is something that Disney Parks blog actually released about a week ago with regards to ESPN The Weeknd. And we did discuss this briefly on Destination Disney. But this sort of shocked us all, really, when it came out. They've been running the ESPN The Weeknd for a few years over at Hollywood Studios. And it's been an opportunity where guests have been able to visit Walt Disney World and they've been able to meet sports stars, they've been able to take part in different sporting events. We're talking about general public here, we're not talking about athletes or anything like that. Well, they announced that it is gone. They're not doing it anymore. They are no longer hosting ESPN The Weeknd. It will no longer be happening at Hollywood Studios because they want to basically expand the brand so it's significant throughout the year with continued different events that are going to be going on. And they're going to be doing it over mostly at the ESPN Worldwide of Sports Complex. They're going to be focusing on events such as the ESPN Rise Girls Showcase and the ESPN Rise Games, which provides basically an opportunity for tens of thousands of athletes from around the country to take part in all sorts of matches and events, including things such as the Home Depot College Football Awards and the Old Spice Classics and all that sort of stuff. So ESPN The Weeknd is gone. And we now have these sporting events that happen. Is this a good move, do you think?
So I was waiting for Craig to reply, but he's just not for some reason. No, it's stupid. I really think it's stupid. ESPN, Worldwide Sport, no one goes to. No one ever goes to, unless they're sad like us, who goes, ooh, come on, family, let's go to Worldwide Sport. And they're like, why, Dad? And you go, shut up, we're going. And then they stand there going, Dad, Dad, Dad. And then you have to leave. Yeah? The whole point of The Weeknd is to highlight it and promote it. So what they should be doing is going, let's keep ESPN The Weeknd going, but let's highlight what we do at Wide World of Sports. So we should be going, oh yeah, and this is what we've done at this time, and perhaps even a video montage of what they've done throughout the year, so people go, wow, there's so much happening there. and use it as a promotional tool for somewhere that no one other than locals, and let's say locals don't even visit anyway, and that's just a spring training camp, no one goes to. The only people who ever go there are the people taking part in the competitions and their families, and then they all come to Disney and actually create extra traffic through the Disney theme parks. So you're using one to create traffic for the other. How about you use the other to create traffic for that?
Yeah, the thing is, what I don't understand is this complete reversal of the focus of the event, where they've gone from it being opportunity to take part in sport, to see things like Mike and Mike in the morning and meet celebrities and have all those sort of motorcades, to it being an event for athletes. And surely that isn't the point of this. Surely it's not going to bring in as many people as ESPN The Weeknd did, because it was so popular.
Exactly.
I don't understand the reason.
It's a bit like grad nights as well, isn't it? They're doing several things this year that I'm still struggling to get my head around.
Yeah, and Busch Gardens have taken up grad nights, and I think we talked about this in Orlando, how actually Busch Gardens is probably a better venue for grad nights. But it does seem weird that Disney have got rid of two, what are fairly big, I suppose, special events that they do. You know, at what point they're going to suddenly get rid of Halloween, or is Christmas going to be cut down to only a month? Those sort of things. You know, it's that idea of what is the change? There's a reason why, you know, they're trying to take ESPN in a different direction, but I don't see why ESPN The Weeknd can't be part of that bigger ESPN package that's going on. I just don't see the logic in...
Move it to Epcot and round the boardwalk where the ESPN club is. Do something with it, but keep it.
Yeah, but it's on a smaller scale in some way. It just, you know, you could turn the whole of World Showplace into something ESPN related, maybe.
You could do different sports from the different countries around the world they've got
there. That'd be cool.
And that, you know, whether it's just like, you know, food and wine, but you could have, even if it's just information stores, say, look, you know, this is the UK, what they're doing at the moment with their sports, especially around 2012, and this is what Japan does around sports. Because I think the countries themselves will probably invest in sponsorship into that, the Olympic corporations, into promoting their own sports as you walk around.
But you do realise that, well, to go to UK, you know, have an area that says, this is all the sports that England invented, that everybody else is better at than us.
No, I'm thinking this is the ideal place to get rid of Seb Coe and push him over there.
We're going to have to display him in a glass case for a year after the Olympics.
Oh, please. Great athlete, but bizarre other person.
That would be brilliant. Let's display Seb Coe in a glass case in Epcot for a year.
Can it be like David Blaine? Can it be in an ice block?
And it could be, or suspended. No one has to talk to him. Okay, ESPN The Weeknd is gone, but we could talk about the expansion of another Hollywood Studios attraction.
Yes, we could.
Shall we?
We'll talk about them. Do you know, I really like this, but... Okay, I like it, but then I'll come back to it. Okay, One Man's Dream at Disney Hollywood Studios has unveiled the new artwork last week for the upcoming Fantasyland expansion.
Expression?
I'm sorry. It's very late, and yes, I have been drinking. And I was paying attention to that. I got a pack of Thornton's Moments, and I was looking at the wrapper. And for some reason, the box says Love to Share, and I was thinking to myself, why would I share Thornton's Moments? That's just a stupid statement. But I'm sat next to him, but I can't eat them, because even though I was given them, I think I have to share them.
And also, but if you were Dunks, you would just eat them while we were recording.
I think I'd be dead meat if I ate these, and then came out and said, I enjoyed those, love. Can I tell you, I've got Thornton's Moments in front of me, a Dirty Quick Big Bar of Galaxy, and Thornton's Continental Selection, and they've left them next to my microphone, as if it's some kind of temptation, because they know I can't eat them without sharing them.
Better than what I've got. I've got an empty glass and a highlighter.
This is once a year birthday food.
Anyway, should we head back to...
Anyway, and I want to say, basically, a lot of this you've already seen on you know, and I'm not going to plug it for plugging's sake, but I'm going to say Disney Brit has actually produced an awful lot of artwork on there that it's seen and pulled together, and I think a lot of the artwork you've already seen will actually be on display in Disney Hollywood Studios, and you've already seen it on Disney Brit, etc. My point is going to be, and in fact, there's tons of artwork on this particular story across Disney Brit, but what I want to mention is the fact that I don't know if it's just a geeky thing, and I apologise for that, but you know when you go into Epcot and you got to see all the models of Epcot and how it was? I really, 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 and it sounds stupid, love that. I love looking at what they've designed, how they've designed it, etc. And there must be you know, there must be out there millions of visitors go to Disney. There still must be a million visitors that loved seeing this.
Mm.
And I'd really like to see all of this in one place where I could see artwork of the designs that Imagineering have done and see how they've done it through the ages. Because I think if you could walk through a museum stage and see how it's progressed and how Imagineers look at it now to how when Walt Disney was looking at the concept of even Epcot, etc., it just amalgamates. I love this. I really do. One man dream. It's that. Now, I've tried to look around on there and I can't see whether it's going to be a temporary thing. But I have a nagging feeling this is probably temporary and will disappear after a while. But if you are there, get down there just to see the concept art. I just love this concept art business. And I do feel sometimes at that point I end up a bit geeky and I shouldn't do and walk away. But I love the vision more than the product. I'll never go to Fantasyland because it just doesn't appeal to me, but I love the vision of what people are doing.
Yeah, I love the fact that they've got the models in there and they've got all of the bits and pieces with the concept art, and it's almost become a bit like a Blue Sky Cellar for Walt Disney World in a way. And I kind of hope that they don't just get rid of it completely, that they keep it going and they keep altering it as they go through, as they come up with new ideas and add new things, that they then add new concept arts and all that sort of stuff as well, which would be really great, that this was a continual evolution, I suppose, in a way. But I agree with you. You know, I would love, absolutely love, for there to be a almost a museum, I suppose, of Imagineering. I know they did it for Epcot's 25th. They have that small area in Inventions, but it'd be great to have something permanent that we could just see all of the time, go in, and they could alter that and add to that as well. You know, one man's dream's great.
I mean, we discussed this at Hyperion Wharf, didn't we?
Yeah.
I would be quite happy if Disney like making money. Without a shadow of doubt, I would be one of those people who'd be queued up paying.
Yeah.
If you created a Walt Disney Museum at Hyperion Wharf, I am happy to pay for me and my family whatever you demand to ask, because that's exactly what I want.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we talked about it, you know, how great would it be if they'd taken over the whole of where the Diana exhibition and Ridemakers was and turned that into some sort of museum. Obviously, they're not going to do that now because Splitsville is going in, but it'd just be great to have something like that somewhere.
Well, there must be a million Disney freaks. If we separate the amount of people who go to Disney and Disney freaks,
yeah,
there must be a million of us.
There
in
is.
Which case, if all of us went every year or half year, let's say 500,000 went every year, and they charged me $10 to get in, because I know I'm going to pay it, no matter what, I'm going to pay it. Especially if they do like replica stuff afterwards that you buy, it's even more. That's a guaranteed money maker.
Yeah.
You know, and you're pampering to the geeks that will love to do that, and I would adore to see that, because you think there must be models for every single place there is. You should be able to build a model of the whole of Disney World.
Because we had a really, really tiny area, didn't we? Which was, if I remember rightly, where the entrance to Main Street is, sort of to the right, and it's where the old Walt Disney Store used to be. They had that as like a preview centre for, I think, certainly for Hollywood Studios and for Animal Kingdom, if I remember rightly.
Because where was the bit in Epcot that you could go and see Epcot? That was in Innovations.
Yeah, in Innovations during the 25th.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
And I found
that
by mistake.
Yeah. But that's obviously, it's a shame that's gone, but it'd be nice to have something permanent, definitely. It'd be good to see if they did. Right, so let's move on then, and we're moving on to Magic Kingdom, just very briefly, where we share with you that there is a brand new area that you can go and meet now, Tinkerbell. It's called Tinkerbell's Nook. It's in the Adventureland veranda. And what's really impressive about this area is that not just gone for a half-hearted effort of just putting some backdrops and things up, they've actually sort of tried to theme the whole area. You go into the veranda, there's a wall which has got, well, I suppose it's like a picture frame on it, which is moving, and there's clips from the different films that are in there. They've got some pictures and stuff up there. But as you walk down the sort of corridor towards where they are, you can actually see larger leaves, and it was almost like the same sort of effect as you had up in Mickey's Toontown Fair. In there, certainly over the past couple of days, has been Vidia and Tinkerbell. Go and meet those, and they've got trees and branches and all sorts of stuff. It looks really fantastic. And one of the great things about this, and this is sort of unusual from my experience anyway, I saw a video of it yesterday, whereas they are genuinely like the characters they are supposed to be. Vidia is maybe a little bit nice, because I know she's supposed to be a little bit mean, but Tinkerbell is, you know, the people the cast members, who are Vidya and Tinkerbell, are so like the characters, and they interact with the children in the way that Tinkerbell would, in the way that Vidya would. And it just seems like, again, there's almost like this evolution. They know the characters so well. The video I saw was from Inside the Magic, was Vidya talking to Ricky, and she was using all these little details from the films that you would not know unless you really understood the films very well, and was just really impressive to see it, just to see how they got into the character they were supposed to be. So if you are over at the Magic Kingdom, then you've got obviously the 15th of August, you've got Enchanted Tiki Room, and you've also now got this new Tinkerbell's Nook area to go and meet them in as well. So do head over there, do go and see this. Juz can go and see it because it's not in Fantasyland, so it's all good.
No, I'd still high five Tink on the way to a root beer float in there, don't know.
You can get one of those and then go queue with it.
I don't think I'll queue. I just high five and say I'm off for a doll whip, and I'm sure she'd just follow.
Okay, that's fine too. Right, let's go over to Epcot for our final piece of Walt Disney World news for this week.
Oh, I love Epcot. I love everything about Epcot. But I can't pronounce most of what's in Epcot. So hence, I want to say Kakigori Kart. But that's probably wrong. But then there's no Japanese wrong. Listeners, so it's Kakigori. They're already there, but they're expanding out, okay? So what's changed is they tended to do the icy treat, which is like, it's chopped ice, isn't it, with flavourings put on it?
Yeah.
I really like that. As long as you get somebody there who puts a lot of flavourings on it, then I'm good. It's a bit like the one at Typhoon Lagoon where they put the flavourings on, then they put extra flavourings on when you go back, and it gives you a headache. And there's loads of E-numbers, and the kids run around a bit wired. But
freeze.
I like it. Yeah, it's more the fact that it just seems to be E-numbers and you get to kid hypers, but that's fine by me. What they do like... Now, bearing in mind that I don't tend to eat food that my food eats... So I'm a bit funny that way. I do really enjoy things like the soya beans in a pod, which sounds really strange, but I do. They actually start to do, the shaved ice is still there, so don't worry about that side, but the menu now includes things like, to me it's just soya beans in a pod, which is like, it really tastes like peas in a pod, and they're really, really nice, even better with soya sauce. It's called Edamame. I'm guessing that. That's what's the official name. But if you like things like peas in the pods, which always takes me back to when I was a kid, they do them there now, and they're absolutely gorgeous. I can tell you that in advance. They also do meal in a bowl, which is miso soup, right. Plus white wine and sake. And smoothie and ice cream cup. So from my point of view, I've got to admit, their savoury stuff appeals to me an awful lot, especially the soybeans in the pod, because they're cool. Cool just to walk around, very sweet. And just incredibly healthy, which is really unusual for me, but I really do like it. So, yeah, basically it's expanded out. They're doing more than just the chopped ice, etc. So Epcot, for me, can never do any wrong.
There you go. So just gives it a thumbs up, so go and give that a try. Right, let's jump on a plane, fly ourselves over to Disneyland Paris, where we've got just as much Disneyland Paris news this time as we have Walt Disney World news, which is very, very rare. We've got some rumours we want to share with you to start off with. Again, we want to say that these are rumours. They're nothing that's been confirmed yet by Disney. But John Lasseter has been doing his worldwide tour of the world, basically, as part of Cars 2. He's obviously around here at the moment because Cars 2's only been out in the UK for a couple of weeks. And part of his tour, including a premiere of the film in Paris, is he visited Disneyland Paris. And he visited Disneyland Paris because he actually has several hats at Disney, including the principal creative advisor for Walt Disney Imagineering. So he came over and took his first ever look at Toy Story Playland. He's not had a chance to see Toy Story Playland since that all happened. And interestingly, they spent a little bit of time on the Ratatouille Street, which is right next door to Toy Story Playland. In fact, it doesn't really lead anywhere. It leads down to some blue construction fences, and that is pretty much it. Well, some people have been doing some snooping and watching what's going on, and some interesting photos have appeared online that seem to explain that there's some work going on behind these blue fences towards the end. Now, we don't really know much more about that, but what we have done over on DisneyBrit.com, there's a photo that I took in June 2011 of what was going on behind the construction fences. There's absolutely nothing really going on there. There's a couple of sort of greyish looking boxes and a blue skip, and that's really it. Whereas there's another photo online that we look at, there's actually a lot more there. There seems to be some sort of white tent there now. There's two or three vans, some people working in there, and a couple of other pallets and boxes and things like that have started to appear, which gives rumour that the budget for the new Ratatouille attraction has been passed. It's been given the green light, and they are now going to begin to build. And it could take somewhere around 18 months for this begin to build. So look out for that as a possibility, which means if it is going to take around 18 months for this to build, it may just open towards the end of what's going to be the 20th anniversary celebrations. Also, second sort of rumour that's come up at the minute, we've got over in Fantasyland, we've got the Fantasyland Festival stage that's sort of used rarely. It's used for Magic Music Days every now and again. It's used for the Winnie the Pooh, I think it's what it's called, Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2 show that goes on there, usually during the summertime. And for the rest of the year, it's pretty much quiet. There's hardly anything there at all. Well, they've just finished doing over all of the flooring outside it, and it turns out that it could be in for a bit of a makeover. Now, you know that Mickey Mouse has got his meet and greet in Town Square Theatre. Well, there's rumours to suggest this could also be coming to Disneyland Paris in the Fantasyland Theatre. Now, we don't know whether this is definitely going to happen, but it would make sense. It is a theatre. The whole idea is Mickey Mouse is getting ready to perform his stage show, so it could be that this is now going to become a new permanent meet and greet for at least Mickey Mouse. So we're looking out to find out whether that's definitely going to be happening, and it could also be part of the 20th anniversary as well. What do you think of these couple of changes that could hopefully be coming to the parks?
Do you know, it's funny with Disneyland Paris, because you always say rumours, but yeah, they never announce anything even when it's
exactly,
existed,
yeah,
don't
exactly.
you?
You know, it could be rumours, it could be true. We don't really know much until it sort of happens a lot of the time.
No, but even when it happens, they don't announce it.
No, that's true. You know, the
it's
first
bizarre, isn't it?
Toy Story Playland was when the signs went up on the walkways. The first thing anybody really knew about it. And it's the same here with this. It seems that they've started to work on this attraction for Ratatouille, but yet there's not really been any announcement. It's the fact that John Lasseter's been hanging around and talking to people that suddenly everyone's gone, well, hang on a second, what's going on here? This is quite interesting. So it will be interesting to see what happens here. But you're right, they never do, do they? They never sort of announce anything. Rumour just becomes...
No, but there's a lot of expansion happening in Paris, and I think it's great. You know, and you know, it's almost like you'd like to see what Disneyland Paris looks like in 10 years' time,
yeah.
Because you know the way it's expanding at the moment. I just wish they could do something around the lake that would make it slightly... Do I say Epcot-y? I think there's a lot of potential there for nighttime stalls of food, etc. Even if it was like food and wine stalls, but I think they're going in the right direction. There's a lot of expansion. I can't knock them.
Well, you say in 10 years' time. In 10 years' time, we should be looking at there have been some sort of announcement for the third park as well. That's got
I don't
to
think
start,
even so. Need whether they need third park or just expand what
well, they've
got
to at the moment with the it's 2030 they've got until, so they've got sort of 19 years, but I would think something else will probably be beginning to surface about a third park by that point. But yeah, they're starting to expand some of the two parks that they've got already. There's another what really is needed e-ticket attraction going to be coming to Walt Disney Studios, so it'd be good to see what's happening with regards.
Studios the one which lags behind, so you look at Disneyland Park itself and you think, do you know what, out of all the Disneylands, you know, the Disney Magic Kingdoms I've been to as such, that is one of the prettiest for landscaping.
Oh,
landscaping's
totally.
Unbelievable.
Totally.
It's the studios that's been a bit, it's had nothing that's distinguished itself from any other studio.
No, but it's you know, they're moving in the right track with regards to hopefully adding that attraction. And again, moving in the right direction with the next piece of news Joss has got for us.
Well, I've got to feel guilty. I've got Ratatouille, haven't I?
Go on.
Really, at some point. Anyway, it's Disneyland Halloween tickets that I think Adam might be trying to get himself sneaking back out to at some point again.
Right.
I'm going to give you a part of the news, and the rest I'm going to send you to Disney Bit, because Adam's put all the press releases there, which make interesting reading. Basically, the Halloween tickets are on sale now. You can enjoy not so scary Halloween party, but also indulge in what Adam did last year, which is the Walt Disney Studios Terrorific Nights.
Oh, yes.
Terrorific Nights will be offered on two different nights, 29th and 30th of October, instead of just the one we saw last year, which proves that it was a success and they're trying to expand it. Tickets, I think, are really reasonable, only £28, and available from the UK booking website. Please make sure you go to Disney Books to get all the information there and the links to it. There's a big press release there, but please make sure that the event is not recommended for children under the age of 12. Now, if you want a more family-friendly event, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party will be presented on four occasions during the month of October, each on a Friday night. Once again, the website's there. It's £22 per person and free for children under the age of 3. I think this is absolutely bargain price, really good value. And the final night of the Halloween season happens on only one night, and that's Halloween itself. And it takes place at Disneyland Park and runs from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And that's slightly dearer than the other. So you've got £22 with the other night. This jumps up to £31. But once again, I think it's, you know, I do not think in reality this is a bad price to pay for any of these things. So if you're slightly older and want that scary event of like Universal Horror Nights but with a sort of a European Disney feel, then you've got that there. If you want more of the family night, then you have that there. And both of them looking at like £28 or £22 or £31 for the night, I think it isn't unreasonable for a Disney park, let's be honest.
And if the Halloween night is anything like it was last year, then £28 for that particular event is a bargain. It's a really good night, so fingers crossed. I think it was less than that last year, only by a few pounds, but it will be good to see them building on that from what they started with last year, which will be fantastic. Right, a piece of news that we had sent to us by Disney this week, actually, with regards to a British portrait photographer is actually going to become Disneyland Paris's first photographer in residence, is what they're calling them. Interesting, this photographer in residence obviously is going to be around for a little while. So we're going to be part of the Magical Moments Festival. Now, the famous photographer, whose identity will be revealed on the 5th of August, if you are listening to this after the 5th of August, you'll be able to find out who that is. They're going to take up their first commission at Disneyland Resort from the 12th to the 15th of August, where they're going to be photographing a magical moment for 6 families every single day. Now, the appointment is basically there to help celebrate the Magical Moments Festival. The celebration's going to be created by Disneyland Paris, where families can live their best Disney moments and create everlasting memories together. Now, UK families visiting Disneyland Paris between the 12th and the 15th of August are going to have the opportunity to apply for a free place to take part. Now, this is a Facebook-only competition, I suppose you'd call it, some entry in that sort of way. It's going to be www.facebook.com/Disneyland Paris. Now, if you are heading out there between the 12th and the 15th of August, you can of course go and enter that over at facebook.com. That's /Disneyland Paris. Successful families will be notified by the 11th of August. So not only is this a great opportunity to go out to Disneyland Paris at the moment because the Magical Moments Festival is going on, but also an opportunity for you to have photos taken by a top British portrait photographer. So something that's really worth going for. So just a reminder that it's going to be the 12th to the 15th of August, where you're going to be photographing 6 families a day. So we've got a good number of days that's going to be happening. Go over to facebook.com/Disneyland Paris, and successful families will be notified by the 11th of August as to what is going on over there. So that all sounds really, really great. Okay, let's tell you a little bit about what's going on with regards to Disneyland Paris heading out to actual Paris.
Yeah, it's a bit weird this. Every year, apparently, Paris makes a beach.
Yes,
like it does
along the River Seine.
Yeah, I've never seen this. This was news to me. Even I thought, well, that seems a bit bizarre. Anyway, we hadn't mentioned, in fact I remember the story because it got me confused at the time of why they were doing it, about the Sand Sculpture Festival in Belgium.
Yes.
Well, what they've done is actually moved this across. Well, actually moved the castle across. So they've actually built
one, yeah.
Built the castle. This is a 16-foot sand replica of Sleeping Beauty's castle. Once again, there's pictures on DisneyBrit.com. But yes, it's perfect sand. It took 300 hours to build. And it's basically on the beach. And what they've got, it's the beach now for the whole of, is it the whole of summer, I think, down there. There's actually a whole website you can go to, and they can actually show what they're doing in each section of this beach that they create down the river there. But no, Minnie and Mickey and Stitch, of course, because Stitch gets everywhere, was down there to sort of like to show it off for the first day, etc. It is a huge sculpture of the castle itself. Really cool. But I thought the whole concept, so I actually went to the Paris Plagues website, I think Plagues means beach if I'm from French back from school. And it just shows how they've broken the beach down and all the different things they're doing. If you're in Paris, it looks really, really cool to go and check out, not just for the castle, but for everything they're doing down there. But the castle, to be honest with you, 16 feet of sand, you know, it is quite an amazing feat.
It is quite impressive. It's quite an amazing 16 feet. It is quite an impressive looking castle. And what they've actually done, you know, we talked about what they were holding in Belgium, and it's almost like Disney have been inspired by that to create this 16-foot replica in the centre of Paris. And the weird thing about this is it isn't nowhere near as good as the one that's over in Belgium, but 300 hours it took to build this thing.
Yeah, but if they made a cast beforehand, they could have built two castles really quickly.
One really giant sandcastle bucket.
Just fill it up, turn it upside down, tap it on the top, and hey, presto.
You just don't want heavy winds and really strong rain, do you?
Otherwise, can I just ask, at this point, this when you sent the story across, this did puzzle me, because we've had really inclement weather, not only in the UK, but in France. I was looking at the European side, and we've had sunshine, but we've also had rain and deluges of rain right across Europe. Yeah. How does this stay up? Because you think the first bit of rain, it should start. Do they cheat and mix something with it to make it stay up, like sort of like a concrete mix, you think?
They must do something with it. It must,
because otherwise it's just going to go. Because my castles don't last very long, mainly because a man comes down the beach and kicks it in the eye.
I don't know. I've got no idea how they do it, but it is impressive. And if you are going out towards Belgium, where you do go to the Black and Blue Festival, because they're doing a whole Disneyland Paris thing, and they've got this awesome looking Big Thunder Mountain that's just amazing, so it's well worth having a look at. Right, well, that's all our Disneyland Paris news and our Walt Disney World news. But those of you in the UK who might be looking for something to do over the next couple of weeks, this might just be your bag. And this is something that we only really found out about this week. We hadn't realised it was going on. And Empire Magazine, which is a film magazine over in the UK, are running an event called Big Screen. It's called Empire Presents Big Screen. This is the UK's largest film festival, I suppose. Think of it like the D23 Expo, but for film. And they've got loads of stuff going on, and they've got loads of Disney stuff going on. So let's just go through some of the stuff that's going to be happening. Basically,
hang on, let me get my pen, because I'm the only one out of the three of us still in the UK. So
I'm making notes of this. For this date, I'm just not here.
Okay.
They've got 250 incredible things to do, including chance to meet stars and things like that from all sorts of performances, whether it be film, television, those sort of things. There's going to be debuts of film footage. There's going to be movie masterclasses. There's going to be premieres, exclusive screenings, all those sort of stuff. And those things that are sort of Disney related. Well, you're pleased to know, but Walt Disney Studios, Marvel Studios, and Pixar are all going to be in attendance. Pixar in a big way, which I'll explain in a second. Also, Star Wars are going to be there. Star Wars is supposed, in a way, sort of Disney. Industrial Light and Magic are going to be there as well. They've got something called... it's all basically linked towards Star Wars, the complete saga being released on Blu-ray. There's going to be a Light and Magic sort of event where they talk about how they use all of those elements to create the movies. There's going to be a Star Wars Padawan training school that's going to be there as well. But the cool bit is Pixar are going to be bringing to Infinity and Beyond, celebrating 25 years of Pixar Animation Studios, which is what it is this year, and they're going to be showing loads and loads of movies on the big screen that are Pixar. There's going to be like a screen that's going to be used every day for lots of different showings. There's going to be quick Q&As as well. There's also going to be a preview of the new film Brave in there, but also Disney are going to be showing an exclusive, I suppose, at a similar time to D23, screening of The Lion King in 3D, which is going to be happening there as well. They will also be having a satellite link up with the Muppets, who are also going to be revealing clips of their new film, The Muppets, that comes out in February 2012 in the UK. So there's loads of Disney stuff going on here, as well as loads of other stuff, including premieres and previews of things like Aliens vs. Cowboys, or there's also going to be, I think, Fright Night with David Tennant's going to be there, and elements like that that are non-Disney related. But if I was around, I would so be going to this. If you want to find out more about the event, you can go over to empirebigscreen.com. There are different tickets packages that you can buy, from one day tickets to one event tickets to 3 day tickets. So do head over there and take a look at all of those. That's empirebigscreen.com. Right, that's all of the news. So let's move on to the next part of the show, where Little Ali Dunks, Craig's daughter, brings us her Disney Island discs.
Woohoo!
Right, it's time for us to do another edition of Disney Island Discs, and we were considering, you know, who could be the next person to take part. And we had kind of this idea, and then we also thought that this also could be possibly the longest version of Disney Island Discs, for we know who she's related to, and therefore it's never going to be a top three. So, especially, oh, she's laughing already, she's not supposed to be laughing yet. Ali Dunks. Hello, Ali.
Hello.
So we've got Ali Duncan on, Craig's daughter. She's going to show him up, which will all be fine. So we need to know a little bit about you. Can you tell us something interesting about you?
I'm a blue belt in karate.
She's a blue belt in karate, which means don't mess with her. And even if you do, try and kick her in the head. She's well-armed. refer to Craig.
Did you just say try and kick on that?
Sorry?
You just said try and kick her in the head.
Yeah, that's... if you try and kick her in the head, she'll take it because she's well hard.
But you shouldn't do anything because she's a child.
Yes, but no, this is because of when we went to the Karate World Cup and there was a nasty girl who tried to kick her in the head, but she was well hard.
Oh, yeah, we sorted her out.
Yeah.
She's sleeping with the fishes.
Is she?
Yeah. Well, the penguins.
What, she's in London?
Oh, no. You're used to this. You just have to talk, darling, otherwise they'll just carry on.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
So.
I'm 9 years old.
Yeah.
I'm at Amherst School.
Okay.
And I'm
she's Zodiac sign.
And can you tell us one thing that your dad does that really embarrasses you?
Oh, you're pushing your luck, Adam.
So top one. What do I do? What do I say to you all the time outside school that really annoys you?
His kiss.
To the lollipop lady.
Yeah, to all the mums. The
did you just stand there as the mums were filing past? Gives a kiss, no, okay. Gives a kiss, no, okay. You have a little sign.
You just see that happening, couldn't you? Anyway, we're getting off the point. So, Ali, you are supposed to have your top three, okay? That's one, two, three. Songs you would take on a desert island with you. They're all Disney songs. They can be from rides, from theme parks, from musicals, from television shows and films, anything at all. Your three songs. So let's start off with your number three, shall we? And if it's Hannah Montana, I'm not playing it, just so you know. So what's number three?
My number five.
Oh, man.
You don't have to play these. Though,
right, okay.
Go on.
My number five is...
What was it? Don't ask me the
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, as in the title track?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time.
So we're going for the Angela Lansbury Murder, She Wrote version that's sung in the film.
Yeah.
Of Beauty and the Beast. Oh, okay, that's an interesting choice for number five. Is this your dad's choice, or is this yours?
This is all mine.
It's all
mine. My number four is Dream Along with Mickey.
Oh, the title to Dream Along with Mickey. Why do you like that one so much?
I just like the show.
You just like the show?
When you find the dream inside your heart, anything is possible.
Dreams come true. Dreams come true.
Wishes to come.
So we're going for
that's
the title.
That's a good enough reason.
I think that's more than a good enough reason. So your number four is Dream Along with Mickey. Okay, right. So we've got your five and your four out of the way. So now we'll do your proper top three from this point onwards. So what I need to know now, your number three, the one that we're going to play on the show, I need to know what your number three is. What is it?
When She Loved Me from Toy Story 2.
Somebody loved me, everything was beautiful. Every hour we spent together lives within my heart. And when she was sad, I was there to dry her tears. And when she was happy, so was I. When she
okay, that's quite a sad one. This is the point, if I'm rightly, when Jessie tells her story about how she gets left behind.
Yeah.
Is that right? Why that one then? Why is it one of your favourites?
Because it's probably the best thing about the film, Toy Story 2.
Okay.
And it's one of the approved songs in my singing lesson, so I can sing it in there.
Ah, okay. So it's got something, a bit of a personal thing as well. Do you know this song? It's from a film, so you know.
Yeah. It's when Jessie gets pulled apart by the dog.
Which version have you seen?
The director's cut.
So it's from Toy Story
2. Tarantino's version.
Have you seen Toy Story 2, Jess?
Yeah.
You have? Oh, that makes a change.
I've seen all the Toy Story. Yes, I've seen all the Toy Stories.
Okay, you've seen all the Toy Stories. Good choice of song?
Alice says it's brilliant, otherwise she didn't Jimmy.
Okay. Craig, do you approve of your daughter's choice?
Sorry, mate, you cut out. And do I approve? Yeah, I like the song, actually. And it's quite funny, though, because she said, I didn't like Toy Story 2, but I really like this song. And she said, it's like the best thing in the film. I went, well, it is a sad song, but no, it's a nice song. And actually, there's a nice... who's that Pewitt woman? Jessica Pewitt?
Jordan Pewitt. She sings it on Disney Mania.
That's right, quite a nice version as well. That is quite a nice song. And I can see why it's a singing lesson song as well, you know, when Ali sings it when she's doing her practice. So in fact, there's a bit of a singing lesson theme, isn't there, through a couple of your songs when you had your 25 list that we had to cut down.
Does that mean the Spectrum Magic's not appearing on here then?
They're all Disney,
right? Okay, so that's fine. I quite like this song as well. This is one I remember. Toy Story 2 was one of those real first like sad moments in a Pixar movie, which were like properly quite heart-wrenching sad, and this was sort of one of the first times they did it. That Randy Newman song was great as well, and the whole story of Jessie and everything. I like that one. I'm going to let you keep that one. That's fine. That's good. Right, let's go to your number two then. What's your number two on your list?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me nails that week, told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say, we ain't the nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes.
A good old classic. Right, why do you like this one?
It's a very fun and bouncy tune, and I like the way that Julie Andrew pronounces the words. And it's funny as she speaks properly, like the St. Clair's girls.
I love the fact that she's very technical about this. She's bringing a bit of intelligence to the show that her dad doesn't usually bring, which is quite nice. So this is... Do you like the film or is it just the song?
I like the film as well, yeah.
Oh, so you like the film and you like the song. That's cool. Do you sing this one as well by any chance?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, we're going down the film route again then, so we have to go to Juzzy first and find out whether or not he knows this one and whether he's seen the film.
I was in this one. I was one of the people dancing on the rooftop.
Oh, were you? You were one of the chimney sweeps?
No, I was just dancing on the rooftop and then all these chimney sweeps appeared. Very annoying.
Get down. That's just a spot.
Alex, what have you got to say? There was some other point you had on there about people singing it in the film.
In the film, it's sung by fat people during the can-can by a carousel, and it reminds me of you and Jazz.
That's nasty.
I don't care. I don't care about you, number one.
Ali's referring to me as a fat person, but actually thinking of Adam as the whole carousel, so I think that's fair.
And your dad's one of the penguins.
Yeah.
That's Jolly Holiday, isn't it?
Yeah. From Madagascar?
No, it's not from Madagascar. I'm thinking of Jolly Holiday with the penguins. So Supercalifragilistic from not from the musical, from the film. Okay, so that's your number two. Another good one. I can never remember all the words, and especially when she goes backwards and says it in the other order. Can you do that?
Can you say it backwards?
No.
Can you spell it?
Yeah, I can spell it.
Go ahead, spell it for us.
SupercalifragilisticExpialidocious.
Well done. Well,
to be honest, I thought that was just a really nasty rounding countdown then. I went to the countdown conundrum.
If you've seen the stage musical of Mary Poppins, the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious version that's in that, they actually do a whole section of it where they continually spell out the word.
SupercalifragilisticExpialidocious.
Never clogs.
Yeah, but no one's going to see that, are they? Out of all of us, it's only you's going to go and watch them like that.
It's a brilliant musical. If you've not seen it, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but you're talking to Juz and Dunks and Little Dunks, and we're not kind of the musical kind to go and watch.
I think you'll find Ali is actually a musical type. Did you not recently go and see The Wizard of Oz?
I did.
No. See? So she's on one side. Right, so Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is your number two, which means we've got one left. I hope we've got one left.
That's
anyway.
Why you're a teacher.
Well, no, because it's supposed to be top three, and we've already had four. Your number one, Ali, what is your number one favourite?
Well, my number one and a half is Cetra.
Round of applause for Ali.
What girl?
Oh, man. What's your one and a half? Go on.
Spectromagic.
Right. Okay. So Spectrum Magic, she won and a half.
The instrumental version.
Instrumental version. We're talking about the piano version here that was, I think, on the... What's the album? Music from the Parks? Something like that?
Yeah.
It's a nice version. I'll give you that. Okay, I'll give you that as one and a half because I actually like that version of the song. Something that's a little bit different.
Six.
It's actually gone for six, isn't it? So what's going to be your one and a quarter then? I can't believe she's put a one and a half in. A 1A. Right, okay. Right, let's have your proper number one then. What you got?
My number one is I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc.
The song sung by the two main characters, isn't it? Which is Billy Crystal and John Goodman sing it. And is it the one that comes right at the end of the film?
But I like the Disney Mania version.
Oh. Who is
that sung by... Mitchell Musso and Emily Osment from Hannah Montana.
Oh, she mentioned the word. The alarm is going off now. She mentioned
you got
the word.
Alex, didn't you?
That's it. She mentioned Hannah Montana. So, do you like the original version as well, or do you just like the Disney Mania version?
I haven't heard the original version. I don't know what the original version is.
Okay.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Alright, it's working. Yo, welcome to the best collaboration of all times ever made. Emily Osment, Mitchell Musso, and BT on the track. Word. If I
were a rich man. Brilliant. Right, you have to listen to the original because I like the original version. I think it's good. But I don't think I've heard the Disney Mania version.
It's good.
Okay.
You will do when you play this.
Yes, you will do when you hear. Because we're going to play this version at the end of today's show. So you're going to hear I Didn't Have You by the Hannah Montana people from the Disney Mania album at the end of this week's show. Have you heard it, Juz? Also, I don't think you're a Disney Mania person, are you?
I like all the Disney Mania stuff. I find a lot of it is better than the originals.
There is some good stuff. Didn't the Jonas Brothers do Pirates of the Caribbean? Didn't they do Yo-Ho Yo-Ho, which was quite good?
Apart from that.
Oh, okay. Apart from that. Is it your fault, this Disney Mania stuff, Craig?
No, it's not. No, the kids have liked it, actually. We bought one disc once in Walmart, didn't we? We just saw it and you thought...
Disney Mania 5, I think.
And yeah, and ever since you've been collecting them, we have them on... But it's ones we always play in the car on holiday. We just have
We've
like
got all of them now.
Seven of them now. So we play them, don't we? And we
Yeah.
They're very different. I mean, some of them are awful. I mean, I do have the Baja Boys, or whatever they're called, singing.
Oh, It's a Small World. It's terrible.
As my ringtone, because it's really
I've
loud.
Heard worse than It's a Small World people singing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's true.
So the one thing we need to know is why you have chosen this as your favourite.
Because Daddy and I sing it in the car, which makes me happy, and Kieran plays pretend drums and guitar to it.
And what does
Could you demonstrate
do?
You singing it with yes. songs?
Oh, yeah, you two together. Are you ready? After three. One, two, three.
It starts with you.
I was a rich man.
Boom, boom.
With a million or two. I'd live in a penthouse. With a room with a view.
Yeah.
And if it could happen, and dreams would come true, I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you. Now you'll be going. You.
And me together, it's how it should always be. One without the other should be nothing to me. Nothing to me.
Yeah, it's enough of that.
Well done, Alex. Wow, what a voice.
Wow. Do you know what?
Not you, Donks, Ali.
Do you know what? It's just like on Britain's Got Talent when the young girl takes the old man on stage and they put him through because it's sweet, not because the old man can actually sing.
Mate, can I be one of the judges then? Ali, ditch your dad. You're great.
There you go. It's the first time I think we've had anybody sing live on the show.
Hey, it had to be me, didn't it? Thank you, Alex.
Yes, you're welcome. And I don't know whether anybody has heard Craig's version of The Climb.
I may not know it, but these are the moments I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going. And I gotta be strong and just keep pushing.
Oh, and also, I
made fun of him for that version.
Also, I believe there's another podcaster out there. I'm not going to say who has got a recording of myself and Craig doing a duet of A Whole New World, but I'm not going to say who because you're not allowed to actually go and listen to it. Well, thank you, Ali, for coming on and giving us your top six, which it should have been three, but there we go. taking after your dad, as always. And what we'll do is we will play I Didn't Have You at the end of the show.
Service Vacation Villas. Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Well, that's it. That's the end of this edition of the show. Thanks once again for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Village. Find out more about them at columbus-vacations.com. Thanks to Juz for joining me. Thanks, Juz.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And I'd say thanks to Craig, but he's not here because he's probably still eating frozen yogurt. You know what he's like. He's probably just sitting there going, another one, another one. make sure to email us your questions, comments, suggestions, podcast@disneybrit.com. And also you can go to our website, disneybrit.com. You can find out all the latest news and rumours and things like that. Hopefully they, although I'm obviously away for the next couple of weeks, there hopefully will be news still going up onto the website. And I'm also hopefully, depending on my internet connections and the possibilities, going to be posting some stuff on there from my trip aboard the Disney Magic as well. Check out our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Juz, and Craig as well. Also check out Mouse Mag. That's over at magcloud.com. Search for Mouse Mag and you can download the show, download the magazine as a PDF. You can buy it as a print or you can get it as basically an e-mag through their iPad app. Check out our sister podcast, Eye on Orlando, and you can go over to eyeonorlando.com and you can enjoy both the website featuring all the news that's coming out of Orlando and the shows over there as well, and also the Destination Disney radio show, both of them also available through iTunes. You can also go over to discot.net, join our forum and enjoy, well, not forum, I suppose, it's our social media site, and enjoy all the things that are going on over there. That's pretty much it. So all it leaves me to tell you is that the next show will be our third year anniversary show, and that's going to be released on Wednesday, the 17th of August. So until then, we'll see you.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Alright, it's working. Yo, welcome to the best collaboration of all times ever made. Emily Osmond, Mitchell Musso, and BT on the track. Word.
If I were a rich man with a million or two, I'd live in a penthouse in a room with a view.
Yeah.
And if I were handsome, well, it could happen. Those dreams do come true. I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you. I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you. I wouldn't have nothing.
For years I haven't been your grace and your charm.
I know, I know, I know.
But I must admit it.
Come on, admit it.
The guy you always come through.
Yes, I do, I do, I do.
I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you.
Yeah.
You and me together, that's how it should always be.
I wouldn't be nothing if I didn't have you to serve. Just a punky little eyeball and a funky optic nerve.
Word.
Hey, I never told you this, but
sometimes I get a little blue.
True. I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you. I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you.